Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We are an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matmatters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is episode 144. Shit's kicking off, but we'll get to that. We have three albums that we're going to review. We're going to review Chromatica by Lady Gaga. We have Golden Hour by Kygo. And we have Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist. No singles this week because it's pretty light on music other than those three albums, which are relatively big releases.
There's a lot
to talk about within those. But the rest, there's since so much has gotten delayed, now we're getting to the parts where a lot of the albums have been delayed.
Yeah.
And stuff, so.
Yes. Also, there is just like a major news story, of course, happening in the United States of America right now. And that has ramifications in the music world. So as always, we'll get to that right off in the beginning. Let's just do that right
now. Let's hop in. Shit's popping off. So everyone knows, I'm hoping, about George Floyd. And first off, you can check out Political Report number 4, which we released. It's Dan.
Yeah, myself. Bonus episode in the Audio Face feed.
Yeah.
We made a podcast, joins us.
Yes.
These go super hard.
And we talk a lot about police brutality, the whole George Floyd stuff, and a bunch of things into it. And this actually gives a couple perspectives in it. So I think everybody here, if you listen to this podcast, please go and listen to that Political Report. It's very important. This one's extremely important.
Yes.
Anyways, so Billie Eilish goes off, onto a proper Instagram rage and says, if I hear one more white person say all lives matter, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Yeah. One part, it's a pretty long thing. It's like pretty like true to heart. It's not very edited, but it's very raw. There's one part that I think is really straightforward that says, if someone's house was on fire and someone's stuck in the house, are you going to make the fire department go to every other house on the block first because all houses matter? It's kind of the point.
Yeah.
It's that you're not saying that all lives don't matter. It's just that that there's a specific melanin-based correlation with the number of people who are being harassed by the police. And it's happening across a lot of races now with the protests that have been happening lately. Even like white women are being like pushed aside by the cops. It's kind of insane. But it goes to the larger aspects that we do talk a little bit about in Political Report 4, where the police force in America and a lot of the way around the world in response to the global war on terror started by the W. Bush administration has made the police
to stop the terror. Now watch this drive.
But like, this stuff's been going on since the Bush administration, and we are just kind of now seeing the ramifications. It wasn't fully set up back when we had like Occupy. People were still kind of figuring it out, but no, now we're seeing the over-militarization of the police as it's happening.
Especially after 9/11, that's when it, holy hell, it got major bad.
Other musicians who talked, Niall Horan, was kind of responding to Donald Trump's tweet where he said that there are thugs in Minneapolis who are looting, who are doing a disgrace to George Floyd's name. And he said that he's sending the National Guard, and if the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Yes.
Trump's not a racist, but he did spend the rest of the day talking about planning on sending dogs on the protesters and fire hoses. I'm like not kidding.
When did he really say that?
he mentioned like the dogs are on the way.
You know, he did grow up in that era, so I'm not surprised.
Release the hounds. Okay. But yeah, Niall Horan says, thugs, These are people protesting against the fact that one of your animalistic white policemen kneeled on George's windpipe and forced him to stop breathing to kill him. Thugs, are you listening to himself? One Direction stands grew up to be socialists, according to Jamie Augusta on Twitter.
And then T-Swizzle Taylor Swift, she said, she tweeted, after stoking the fires of white supremacy and racism your entire presidency, you have the nerve to feign moral superiority before threatening violence. When the looting starts, the shooting starts, we will vote you out in November at Donald Trump, at real Donald Trump.
You know, this is like a 2016-2020 meme, because 2016, Taylor Swift was very much like, politics is kind of bad and it's messy, and you know, I'm on the Hillary side, but like vaguely, but like, oh my God, it's kind
now
of...
Now she's like...
So now it's like, we're done. Which is honestly like a good thing. So like usually a lot of these stories we criticize
a lot because usually they say nothing of substance is the biggest. They're like with Lana Del Rey a few years ago, nothing of substance. We had because a whole like when Trump won the presidency, and especially in 2017, so much music came out and it had nothing of substance of saying what like you could do. So now I think more artists are coming into it where they actually have either ideas or they're now saying, you know what, fuck this shit. It's too much stuff is going on, and especially
like,
in this country.
Yeah, so. Enough with the peacefully waiting for things to change.
Yes.
No Name, meanwhile, always being like three steps ahead on the Wokometer,
love No Name,
is blasting top-selling rappers who have been staying silent on George Floyd's murder. Now, a lot of artists have had like social media posts. I've seen a lot of artists even on the streets, Vince Staples, J. Cole. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks have actually been getting out there to protest with people. And a lot of other rappers, which we'll get to in a moment. But there are a lot of major rappers who, like, one of No Name's criticisms was saying that there are people whose whole discography is about this brutality,
yes.
is about this stuff, and they're not out there yet. It's happening all on the weekend. Even Travis Scott tweeted out a Nike ad that was nothing except a swoosh at the end. But it was basically like, silence is siding with the oppressors type shit. It's like pretty like dystopian, but in a fighting with the proletariat kind of way for a Nike ad. But like pretty much, it's even becoming like the corporate woke side of things. Focus on the protest.
Take the money.
Yeah, even Netflix was like, sorry, we're not saying, we're just saying. It's kind of
exactly.
wild. Speaking of major celebrities who are kind of not in it.
Where's Jay-Z at?
The fuck is Jay-Z? Roger Goodell released a statement, the head of the NFL, on behalf, also noting that Ahmaud Arbery, who was shot in February, and mm-hmm. that case went viral. Again, go to Political Report if you don't know about that.
Viral.
Is also a cousin of Tracy Walker of the Detroit Lions, so it's like part of the NFL, mm-hmm. of course. Because it turns out that in the sport where they call the manager of the team owners, most of the players are black. Interesting how that works. So the reason there's a lot of criticism with Jay-Z is because Jay-Z made this big initiative. If he's joining the NFL, he's going to be their like entertainment correspondent. He's going to like produce these big events. He's going to make sure that people of color and black people's issues are on the forefront. And this is the NFL's time to shine right now. I mean, this is everything the Kaepernick stuff was about. And
yes.
this is just a very like lukewarm statement. Like Adidas and Nike are making stronger statements about what's going on and the need for this to kind of stop and change.
Even Bundesliga, one of the Gladbach players scored a goal today and he knelt down on the pitch.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's Marcus Thuram, freedom fighter.
Solidarity here is
out in Germany.
Motivating to see.
Yes, love it.
Meanwhile, Tommy Lauren wants some of the smoke because not really. This is she didn't call anyone out, but Tommy Lauren tweeted that how does looting, rioting, and destroying one's own community bring justice for anyone? Which is a question that people have been asking, mm-hmm. And we'll address it in a moment. I promise, but. Cardi B's response was pretty fire. Said, how does targeting, profiling, and beating, murdering black men with no consequence equal serving and protecting? Who gives them justice and trust on cops? Mind your business and eat your salad.
Fuck, I love Cardi B so much. Oh, man. I mean, that's everything.
It's kind of getting to the point at people focusing on the sometimes senseless response and saying, wow, this response is so senseless, while other people are like, what has happened so far is so senseless. The fact that it's still going on is so senseless. The fact that it got to this point is so senseless. So, like, this is just a boiling point. People are going to get angry.
That's one thing I brought up to a couple of people who asked me my opinions on it. And I go, well, if you look throughout history, stuff has gone on when the people are unhappy. Look at the Bolshevik Revolution. That's a prime example.
Yeah. The one thing that the proletariat has against the mm-hmm. ruling class mm-hmm. is numbers.
Exactly.
That's really it.
Exactly.
That power is in the fact that they concentrate that power over so few people, but like
exactly.
numbers, we have them.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag no politics. There's a political report for that, so I have even less of an excuse, but yes. like we are knee deep in it right now. So Killer Mike is also kind of giving this impassioned plea, especially in Atlanta, which, is a heavily black population,
yes.
a lot of black owned businesses, a lot of black wealth is centered there.
I mean, how many rappers out of Atlanta?
Yeah.
And some of the best rappers are there. So.
And a lot of those rappers have businesses, like Killer Mike has his businesses yep. of barbershops that are in the Atlanta area and stuff like that. So they really give back to the community there. And so Killer Mike, along with the mayor of Atlanta and a couple of other people, were giving a address. And Killer Mike was in tears, and he was just like, I'm sick of talking about black people who are dying at the hands of police. I don't want to be up here saying this because I don't have anything to say.
It was really emotional. Like, it made me sad to see him up there talking like that.
It's hard to see. And like, he's wearing, like, he is both, because like, Killer Mike has this very like almost anarchist, go against the law, fuck everything, burn everything kind of spirit. He's asking people not to protest and loot things because it's looting their community, making the point that it's a largely black community.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe they're the large corporations that perpetuate a lot of these things. There's, like, the case for Walmart and their role in the military-industrial complex.
Exactly.
But, like, there's the juxtaposition of Killer Mike saying, hey, please don't loot, while he's wearing his trademark Kill Your Master shirt. And so, like, I think he's even referenced this on Instagram. Like, I'm not going to say much. Killer Mike saying, and Killer Mike, you know, he doesn't say this much. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say much more on this topic, but look at the shirt I was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my stance on it. And the music speaks for itself. Speaking of the music speaking for itself, Run the Jewels 4 is coming out next week. Yep. LP announced that it's going to be free for everyone, partially because of the protests that are going on. Run the Jewels is very much in the DNA, like, protest music, anti-establishment music. Also because every other previous Run the Jewels album has been free, I think. Really? Maybe not the third one, but definitely the first two were. That was kind of the idea.
I knew the first one was, but I didn't know about the other ones. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not that big of a thing, but should be pretty good. It's coming out next week. And if you want the history of Run the Jewels, I did a bonus episode with Tammy that is just a little bit before Political Report. So go to your favorite podcast app, look a little bit back. And it was recorded a month ago, but it's still very relevant in the stuff we're talking about with Killer Mike and LP's lyrics in Run the Jewels. It should be very interesting to look forward to. So make sure you subscribe to Audioface so you get all of this stuff. Now we get to the flubs before, we'll have Lady Gaga in just a moment, but we'll get to the couple flubs that happened here. Lil Wayne is speaking out on George Floyd's death, saying that if we want to place the blame on anybody, it should be ourselves, speaking to black people, saying that we have to stop placing the blame on the whole force and the whole of everybody in a certain race or everybody with a badge. And that's, again, like, not the point. It's like we've leveled up past these talking points that existed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you can't generalize over an entire community. And in fact, I think that's a lot of what the left says that the right picks them at, is that, like, the left gets mad when people are overgeneralized or assume they're one thing, and the right tends to overgeneralize about people and things for political gain. But you're not saying that, like, every single person is bad. There are viral videos of white cops and black cops who are talking about this and saying how it hurts them and how they joined the police force because they saw these issues and they wanted to change it. It's what people have to get their mind around is these aren't individual people's issues. These are individual people's issues. There's individual people at the end of the day who exercise this power. But the reason it continues happening is because of the system itself.
And no one changes it.
Yes, and until that system changes, you, like, the entire thing is rotten, because no working system kills this many people. It just defeats the purpose.
Exactly.
And Lil Wayne has this sympathetic thing. I would go much more hard-headed on him, but he has that story of, he's talked about this many times before, where an off-duty officer basically saved his life when he shot himself. And he really holds on to that moment because he was 12 and it's like a really pivotal thing for him. So I understand him in that moment. And there are, again, like, it's not systemically bad. The weirdest, worst, best thing I saw from the protests that have been happening over the weekend was someone else being arrested and two cops arresting this one guy. And one of them had their knee on the guy's neck again, which is ridiculous. The officers were, the bystanders, I think this was in New York, were yelling at the officers not to do it. And the other officer who's there just pushes the officer's knee off of him. So it's just like, yeah, there's a couple good guys. They're there, it's nice, but this keeps happening because of the systemic issue, and no one agent in the system is going to change that. So that's the point with Lil Wayne. And now, this is just an Audioface one.
Yes, because what the original Not a Little Bitch Award was for, we nominated to win Butler, but he didn't win it, right? It was Ed Sheeran who won it.
I think it was the other way around.
It was all the way around. It was a win Butler.
We invented it for Ed Sheeran, because he quit Twitter as a white male because he was getting trolled for singing in Game of Thrones, where the actors of this extremely popular show were fans of him.
Exactly.
So it's like the ultimate like crybaby moment online. That's why I invented the award. Yes. But like, no, we've since given it to Offset, to Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire, to DJ Khaled most recently, which is why it's currently the DJ Khaled Note a Little Bitch Award.
But the one Matthew Healy, my man, he qualifies for it because he left Twitter after taking heat for a George Floyd tweet. But we'll get into it.
Yes.
So I know it's not like how Wynn Butler and Ed Sheeran left Twitter because they were like, oh, my ego's hurt and everything, because their cases were so, like, their things were so small, they quit for reasons that were just pathetic.
They basically just quit for criticism, and like, fairly warranted. With Ed Sheeran, not really, but
my Wynn point Butler, for sure.
My point with Ed Sheeran was that, like, you have to be a bigger person than that and realize that, like, you are a bigger person than that. With Wynn Butler, it's like, you did something people critiqued you lightly for. They're not like
for
coming
you,
to your
the
house
everything
and
now thing and yeah, and how it fell flat and he just like left because he didn't.
It's like us music reviewers like talking shit on him, but like people going out online. And obviously, there's a point where it becomes harassment. But again, you have to realize who are the celebrities living in sizable houses who can mostly be left alone if they want to, versus who are the people who are just randoms on Twitter.
Exactly. So Maddie first tweeted, I really fucking hate racists, and right when it happened. And then because the main thing that he got heat for is he sent out a thing where it said, if you truly believe that all lives matter, you need to stop facilitating the end of black ones. And then he puts at the end of it their song Love If You Made It, which was in 2018 won our best song of the year award, because in the song, if you listen to it, it says sell a melanin, suffocate the black man. Start with misdemeanors and we'll make a business out of them, which is one of the wokest lyrics I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, because it's talking about the prison industrial complex in a pop song.
Exactly. And it's just like, ever since that song, I'm like, this is ridiculous. So, but he got a lot of backlash for it because a lot of people in the fandom and other people who don't know the song were saying, you're just trying to promote your new album. And I'm like, that's not a song on Notes.
Yeah, it's
that's
not a song on the new
2 years
album.
Ago saying, and, this is a song that literally has that, and that's about, if you see the music video for it, it literally has racial hate crimes in the music video itself. So it's trying to go, we haven't changed even from just 2 years ago. But then he deleted the tweet, said sorry, and then redid the tweet and posted the music video and got even more backlash for it. Right. And then after that, then he deactivated his account for the time being because I think he didn't want to hear it with people.
Yeah, so he said, sorry I did not link my song in that tweet to make it about me. It's just that the song is literally about the disgusting situation.
It
speaks more eloquently than I can on Twitter.
And it does.
In another tweet, he noted that including the video was tasteless. So here's the thing. Matty Healy's clearly not the bad guy. That means why we're giving him the Noted Little Bitch nomination in like...
He checked the boxes
of being a white
but
man.
He's not
Twitter.
But he's not Drake or DJ Khaled or Offset.
He has the history of being very outspoken, sometimes in his own head, but very outspoken about these things. He shows remorse about it. I would say, because a lot of people have been asking, hey, like, how can they be like good allies in this situation? I'll list them out very quickly. A is if you want to actually get out there on the streets and protect people of color who are gonna be targets of police violence, and the police are wiling out right now. If that's something you're willing to do, do that. Secondly, donate to any freedom funds or strike funds that are paying for the legal fees of people who get wrongfully arrested for using their First Amendment rights. Point three, talk to anyone in your life who is still like not on board or not understanding with these things, because it's enough for people of color to be telling these things, but for other people and their allies and their communities to speak out on these issues, it actually makes the difference. And fourth, and most importantly, where it gets to Matty Healy and where he can improve, is to instead, like maybe Billie Eilish and Niall Horan and Taylor Swift even expressed their opinions and their anger about it, and they did it in a way that felt like raw and honest and real. But ultimately, they're kind of listening to what black people are saying first and kind of taking that and kind of going there. It's listening to the pain and the emotions of the people who are most affected and the most afflicted first before you insert yourself too much into the story. Again, like, Matty Healy walked a line here, so I'm not, like, upset for it. But I'm sorry you tick the boxes. We have rules on this podcast. We have rules,
so you have to nominate it, but he won't win. So
yeah, yeah.
Because the
only way he would win is if there's no one else. If there's no one else, award,
and that's not possible.
That's not this podcast.
It's not possible.
That's not this podcast. I
would nominate Lana Del Rey before him. Holy
I will
shit.
Go to Music Business Worldwide before we.
Oh no, Music Business Worldwide.
I will find
scraping
some,
the barrel.
I will find some random like assistant marketing officer at some streaming platform and give them an award. Like I don't care.
Yes. And finally, on to music, because this is a music podcast, and that's what we do. We have our first.
No politics.
Exactly. We have our first album review of Chromatica by Lady Gaga. It is 16 songs, 43 minutes long. It's interesting. I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
The opening track, Chromatica one. Or
would you? I have a confession to make. I'm a huge like Lady Gaga like.
I know he likes it. I know he. Yeah. So I know you definitely.
And
like
have
the
been
music.
Since middle school, yeah. Which is a time for everyone. So. I would just start by saying Lady Gaga's history has been a lot. She was kind of like the avant-garde artist in the beginning with her earlier albums. That's how she kind of just meteored on the scene, became like a meme in itself back when memes were kind of just like a new thing.
Yeah, because then especially when she would wear avant-garde dresses to award shows and stuff, dress and all that other gubbins.
There's this whole like superseding the idea of sexuality and like what it was as a person, as like a feminine sort of like idol with fame, Born This Way, art pop, those kind of things. And then she kind of took more of an artistic kind of back to the before the roots of her music kind of thing. She did a project with Tony Bennett. There was the Stars Born that happened. In between that was Joanne, which is more of like a acoustic, not quite folk Americana, but in that kind of vein album. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to like what Beck did with Morning Things around that time. Where like you would know them for this very energetic kind of sound, but then it comes out, or they take a sort of like tangent or a detour in their career to just like explore themselves musically. Usually this is for the better, even though as a fan, I liked more of the older style more, the like general poppy stuff more. It was just amazing
just
to
nice,
see.
Her,
she's really talented as a songwriter, as a vocalist.
In A Star Is Born, she was fantastic. I was surprised.
I was
even at her acting ability and stuff in it as well for the film, it's good. And
with all that, Chromatica is a more of a return almost to the earlier poppy Lady Gaga. It's
poppy dancey tracks.
Yeah, yeah, it's dance pop is essentially the main genre of this because everything has that set of balance. With that kind of explanation going in, you're talking about the first song, Chromatica.
This album is broken up into three parts where it has little interludes in between each one, and it sets off for like a theme of it. So first one, Chromatica, one's this lovely little interlude instrumentals, like a little orchestral style. Then you have Alice, which is that style of electronic pop and pop dance, and it's fun. It's about getting literally lost, like Alice in Wonderland, like getting lost into whatever it is. I'm in the hole, I'm falling down, down, so down, down. You have that you have the upbeat tempo, you have really good lyrics in it, and it feels genuine. It's maybe a little too produced if my only critique, but it's pop, so it's going to be that way in general. But for hers, it feels genuine with it, because that's most of her music when I've listened to it.
This album's also a very much like an ode to EDM to me.
Yeah,
like
for
more
sure
broadly.
You can hear it.
Because even Alice, Stupid Love, which comes right after that, and
Rain on Me.
Rain on Me kind of, but even further down, Rain on Me for sure, but also even further down, there's a song called 911.
911's
like,
good.
They all have little bits of Daft Punk and
I
Justice
was gonna
and Deadmau5.
Say that. Yeah.
Old school style.
Exactly.
And it's just like nice that it has these little homage and these touches, little flourishes.
But
it doesn't
it's not
overtake
good
the song.
Say, but it's not copying
like,
it.
Yeah, it's not copying. It's not like hitting you overside the head with, I'm making this reference, look at this callback. But in return, it's very pop. It's very whittled down to its basicness without too much frill or fluff to make it too adventurous, because ultimately it's a pop record for a very, very popular pop artist. So it has to, at the same time, appeal to a lot of people, which is, it's an art within itself.
Because there's one where, I can't think of the song, it might have been 911, or Rain On Me, where it had the same kind of style of chord memory from Daft Punk, which is a B-side track, and if you're really into them, you know what that song is. And I listened to it, I go, holy shit, they did that sample and stuff on it. Like, that's good, but they did it enough and made it their own little thing and made it into a pop song, which is honestly very hard to do, because if you take stuff from a lot of dance music and you try to make it into pop, it's very easy to make it just, you chop it up and you just give it out to the masses and you make it really crappy, but then you do
it's formulaic.
Exactly, and it just feels very monotonous. This is definitely not that, because, you know, we critique pop heavy in this podcast. This is one of my favorite pop albums I've listened to in a long time because of the little section it goes off of. Chromatic One is more of that kind of garage house music inspired stuff, not house, but more of the beats and stuff into it. Even the song Ariana Grande fits perfectly into that song.
Oh, it's fucking beautiful song, really.
You know, my beef with Ariana Grande, I'm not allowed to speak about it, but anyways, I don't really like her stuff per se, but for this song, fits amazingly well with it. Free Woman is awesome. It's a talk about empowerment with it. Empowerment of being a woman, especially a woman in music. Fun Tonight is just literally that song title. It's fun. Chromatic 2 goes now into more of like a darker style. So more of tuned to like your Deadmau5s of the world and into more of...
it's deep house.
Yeah.
It's deep house, which exactly. is actually what I which love is, which about it.
It's stripped down from the first half, but it still goes along with Chromatic 1, which is very hard to do. Which yes. is my biggest thing with this album that I love. Sour Candy is... Oh, I love that shit. I love that song. I'm hot on the outside, but if you give me time, then I could make time for your love. I'm hot on the outside, but if you see inside. I might be messed up, but I know what's up. You want a real taste? Because it's talking about literally, like, you bite into a piece of candy, and because I'm hard on the outside, but I'm different on the inside. So you need to look at me from in that perspective. And it's amazing with that. And Blackpink, the feature on it, it's awesome. It's a track where I just want to dance and groove to it, but it has a deeper meaning within that if you look into the lyrics, if you look into it. And the Chromatic 3 just slows down the album at the end, but it still goes along with it.
Sign From Above is like... a super amazing track. It just have two really good vocalists that contrast each other.
Yeah, even though I hate Elton John, but I'll give it a pass because I actually like it. When I was young, I felt immortal. Not a day went by without a struggle. It's a little pop heavy towards the end of the track for me, but it's okay.
But the end of the track also does an homage to drum and bass.
I was about to
which
say
is
that.
Like, yeah. Again, it's a pop album. A lot of pop albums do that, especially when they do some kind of like EDM, like charcuterie board of EDM like tropes and ideas. But it's still really nice to see in a song that goes together really well. I think it's a proper good performance. This is one of those albums where like it's like you're going out to the club with Lady Gaga almost.
Yeah, and you feel like you're with her.
Chromatica 1 feels like the first part of the evening, mm-hmm. and then 2 feels like the second part, mm-hmm. and then 3 feels like it's 4 a.m. and y'all have had a good time, but you're ready to go home. You know, back in the before times.
Yeah, and it's so cohesive for a pop album, and each Chromatica, as I like to call it now, is very unique and different in its own way within the song. So it's fantastic.
Within the album.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah,
hats off to her for sure.
Yeah, it is one of, as someone who likes old Gaga and hasn't like mm-hmm. loved a Gaga album since Art Pop, I've just like liked
Shit,
them.
That's been a minute.
This is one of my favorites since then. I think Born This Way or Fame Monster might still be my favorite Gaga album. But again, this was Dan in middle school. This was a time.
Yeah.
So some of these things are not going to change. Arbitrary scale this week is Looted Stores.
Because, you know, the times.
For reasons. This is a looted Circuit City. Circuit City does not exist anymore, but Circuit City was a really great store because their music selection was
top-notch. Oh, that's where I bought my first ever albums, Discovery, and I forget what my second one was, to get it on my Walkman.
Yeah.
Those were the first. I went to Circuit City. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Just this what is, I needed.
That's rough. What would this be? This is Eluded CVS because, you know, you can get whatever you want at a CVS. It's random, but there's only like one employee, so you're good.
Convenience. But that neighborhood feeling.
Exactly.
So you know of the one employee who's there because they're short shifted and they like have to clean and wipe the toilets while restocking the store while being at the
That's how CVS works.
Oh my god. Keep pushing, that's all I'm saying. Hashtag no politics.
Why is this all loading?
There was an interesting article that Dr. Dre, it was an interesting thing that Dr. Dre talked about the way that social media has destroyed the artist mystique, or the For way sure. that artists sort of like had a little bit of a mystery to them when they were releasing their music. Like, you can take this to the ultimate like galaxy brain old head way of thinking, which is before you really had the internet in the 90s, you had elusives like MF Doom, where like they were legends. He was in this rap group here. He was coming up to fame. He had this tragedy in his life. He produced some of his first albums while sitting on a park bench, being homeless in parts of the country. Like, there's this whole mystique and kind of interesting thing to the artists that honestly makes them more interesting. Whereas you have some artists like modern day, again, taking the old head galaxy brain explanation. You have Blueface. You have 6ix9ine, who they share too much about them. We get they're super obnoxious. It sells records. Like, it does well for hits and advertising numbers.
For the artist aspect of music, it doesn't do it well.
Yeah.
In that regard. Because my problem with social media is it gives fame to stupid people all the time. So then a lot of good music can get lost because it doesn't have the traction that it once would have had. Because everybody is now going for clicks, going for likes, going for just blah, 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 all of this shiny stuff. So that's one big thing that I agree with Dr. Dre on that. Because another thing is, think of when music how rock music changed the world in the 60s, and how people were waiting for albums to come out. Like, my dad was saying how him and his friends were waiting for a Led Zeppelin album to come out and stuff. Yeah. And they would like wait for this. And there was this giant mystique of these people, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're going to come out with unless they start putting out singles. But even then, singles weren't big at the time. And then you just get this plethora of music and you wouldn't know exactly what's going on. So it was nice in that regard. Because you could see like music change in itself, get structured in different ways. You have rap and stuff as well. You have dance tracks, electronic music coming out that you didn't really have. The only way you could do it is if by word of mouth a lot of times, because that's why you'd pass out CDs a lot. That aspect is almost dead. It's still around, but you don't get it nearly as much.
Only like the kind of legendary artists can do it, and part of the reason they are legendary is because the ones who have the mystique like Daft Punk for example,
still
like
do.
The ultimate like
yeah.
they
you
just
no
disappear and then they release their album and they disappear. It's almost like the other extreme of rejecting any sort of attention,
and they're still good at it and they're still
Kendrick
relevant.
Lamar, we were just talking about this off camera, but like Kendrick Lamar is one of those artists where like they disappear, they do things here and there. It wasn't always like that because you're always coming up, but once you get to a certain level of at least right nowadays, once you get to a certain level of prestige in your particular genre, you're kind of able to set the rules and do what you want. Like, you can make a splash. Like, Beyonce could just be like, album tomorrow. And we're all like, holy shit, it's insane. There's no need to build up a release cycle for
that. And here's the thing, that the first band or group that really took off because of the internet was Arctic Monkeys. They exploded from their album because of the internet. It wasn't social media, per se, because social media was at its bare infancy in 2005. But because they were passing out tracks and everything, and then they uploaded to whatever music players and stuff were on at the time, or how they did it in England.
Definitely, but the first time, like, I heard Arctic Monkeys was through Pandora.
Yeah.
There was, like, first with
and
that.
That's, they were the one, like, they exploded because of it. So there are pros and cons to it. I think for social media, say, I always think there's more cons to it, because you get your 6ix9ines, your Blue Faces and whatnot, that they're popular and stuff because of their antics, because not necessarily because of their art form, because their music fucking sucks.
Hot garbage.
And then again, you have all these other artists that we talk about all the time, or we bring up on the podcast, that don't get traction because they're typical artists, where they're usually very hermit and they're antisocial in that regard.
Yeah.
And they don't get the traction of it. So that's my big critique.
Correct.
Of that. So that's cool. Speaking of that, let's go into...
We have Kygo's latest album, Golden Hour. Kygo is a really interesting electronic musician. Mm-hmm. He was really well known for his, like, kind of tropical spin on electronic music that he did in 2015 and 16. But this is an 18-song, hour-long album that is kind of just a rehash of that sound. It's like...
Yeah, I was about to say, I call this the YouTube album. Because every single YouTuber puts a song like this into their videos, where it's like, you have a, think of it, you have a selfie, like, just put in, feels like
hey
forever.
Hey guys, welcome to my blog.
Exactly. And they're going to go up, like, look at my Tesla I just bought, and then it pans out, and then it has a stupid drop into the music, and it goes into this chill thing, and
like
then next thing you know, you're driving.
Very, like, breathy kind of noises and music and the sound.
And I've heard this 1,000 times in the past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know, my problem with Future's album is that every song sounds the same. This, I think, is worse than Future's album, because every song, I swear to God, is the same song, just redone, where you have, The Truth is just, again, the most YouTube song ever I've heard. And that's the truth. Which, you know, every cuck with a camera pointing at them, with an iPhone pointing at them, thinks they're cool because they've mommy bought them a Tesla, but they say it's their own.
Lamborghini in the garage with, with a stack of books in the background.
Shit, who was that guy's name? I can't think of him. But yeah, exactly like
we
that.
We know, yeah.
We all know. Lose Somebody is the only song.
Gary Vee.
Lose Somebody is the only song that's remotely different, because One Republic's on it, and I've totally forgot that One Republic even existed. And it starts off with a slow piano thing. I'm like, okay, maybe a little different. And then it goes into this little pop electronica ballad where it's just cut, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. And it's just, it's so boring, man. It's,
yeah, like,
the only cool thing is that there's a higher love with Whitney Houston.
Yeah, and we reviewed that, like, last year when it came out.
Exactly.
Which it also is kind of a sad thing, because it's like, assuming you produced this entire album from when that song came out to now, you've had quite a lot of time to sound these songs and figure that out, or, like, literally learn one other time measurement.
Seriously.
Because I almost wanted to do a trick where, like, I just, like, recorded the whole Kygo album and then chopped up the songs, and then put all the songs together on a track to see if the drops happen at the same time.
They almost do, because it's like, you have about a minute, minute and a half, and then drop.
And it's always
and another
like,
minute and then another drop.
Voice comes in, kind of starts, instrumental, singing for two verses about love in some way, losing it, gaining it, missing it, wanting it. And then there's like a middle part where it drops, and it's not like the build up like crazy anxiety.
It's not Dylan
Kygo
Francis.
Kygo has his like tropical house style of being like kind of, da 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 da. It's just like really annoying.
Again, it's just it's the internet age album where just everybody uses this music. Instagrammers use this music, and it's just, it's cliche.
It's not even good enough for TikTok though, because it's not very like danceable.
No,
like, it's really like it's just like it's the it's elevator music, but for Molly Munchers is kind of what this album is.
It is the
you listen to it as you're walking by the Dippin' Dots stand and the puke and like the puke trash bin at EDC back when you could do such things. And Kygo is playing in the background, and you're like, ah, I can almost forget it's 130 degrees outside.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty boring. There's really not, other than that, there's not much to say about it.
Yeah, there's not because much every memorable in here. And like Kygo, another annoying thing is that Kygo had the sound in Cloud Nine. He kind of tweaked it a little bit, but not much in Kids in Love. But like most EDM artists, it's just been like a stream of songs that have come out in the meantime to show, like for Kygo to have any sort of example of, oh, here's me doing something a little bit different. And it doesn't happen. And it happens in its own brand in each genre, like bland pop and elevator pop is its own thing compared to elevator trap is its own thing compared to elevator EDM. And they're all terrible for their own reasons. But yeah, I just want something more than the same.
Because there's so many good electronic music artists out there. I mean, Kolsch is one of my favorite, the Danish guy, and he's ridiculously good, but he doesn't have nearly as much traction as this because it's just a recipe for like the crowd pleasers galore, and that's this album.
Yes.
It's just.
And yes, we are ignoring the Taiga song on here.
I'm not going to talk
we
about
are
that.
Ignoring
I'm
that.
Just not. I don't want to.
On the arbitrary scale of looted scores this week, this is a. You said a convenience store last time, so I'm not going to name another convenience store. I'm going to call this an AutoZone.
You son of a bitch, because I'm going to call this O'Reilly. That's hilarious.
Okay, they're just like car
random parts auto part store, and just you get in there and you're like, I don't know, because you go in there but you're fugazi, so you don't know cars, and you look in there and you're like, is this an alternator or what? Like, I don't know what this does.
Because first of all, if you really know what you're talking about with car parts, you're going to pick your part. You're not going to AutoZone. <It's rough.
laughs> No, you're going to you buy salvaged Teslas and you build your own out of salvaged Teslas. Galaxy brain it. That's what you do.
Lord. And make a YouTube channel about it.
Oh. And put Kaiku in there.
Universe brain.
Oh my god. Kill your masters. So Coachella's likely postponed until 2021. So the festival organizer reached out to many artists and stuff and just said, so they originally postponed it to October, correct?
Yes.
And they said, just do it in April. It'd be easier to just wait a year and everything, which honestly makes sense.
It makes more sense. And I remember looking back at our original, like in early March when like, okay, coronavirus is happening. These things are canceled. They're pushed to October. I kind of regret how much with a tone I said that, oh yeah, it's totally going to happen in October that I had back then. Because I think none of us has had any idea the scale of this.
Holy shit. But, this is going to be a lineup. I said the original Coachella lineup was Rage Against the Machine, Frank Ocean, Travis Scott, Lana Del Rey, Tom York, FKA Twins, Lil Uzi Vert, and Run the Jewels.
Yes. So they're basically, I think as you said, bringing most of the 2020 lineup into 2021. That should be great. Primavera Sound in Spain is also doing the same thing. It's going to have
festival.
Tame Impala, The Strokes, Pavement, Gorillaz, Tyler, the Creator, Charlie XCX, Iggy Pop, in addition to many of the others we mentioned from Coachella.
Yeah, so Primavera always has really good lineups. So yeah, it makes
with the
sense.
Hits, it looks like it's gonna be good, but it's probably gonna be live streamed because there are gonna be a lot of people who don't want to go to it, and those that do go to it are going to be the guinea pigs.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's gonna be really.
It's gonna be telling for a lot.
Yeah, those would kind of if they happen in the early part of the year, like before June 15th, let's say, like the first half of the year, then maybe it's gonna look a lot different. Like it'll be very spread out and stuff. Because you can't imagine like the Coachella pits, like where people are just like stuck together trying to see the Tyler Creator show. That's not happening.
It's super triggered. Anyways, moving on to our last album review of the day, we have Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist. It is 10 songs, 35 minutes long.
Is just over a drop.
I was going to ask if what this should this be qualified as an album?
The reason I qualify this as an album is it has more songs than I think a drop should.
Yes. Yeah. And it's 35 minutes, which usually a drop is under 30.
I can see a 35-minute drop, but
if it's like seven, it's like six or seven songs. Yeah.
This is definitely the gray zone.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would consider this to be largely a full-fledged album. It's a project, and it like many of these, it makes a good use of the amount of time it has. Freddie Gibbs is coming off of a pretty hot year of doing these like I rap, you produce kind of collabs. Bandana came out last year. I think was one of the best rap albums of the last year and from the last decade. And yeah, he's done these songs here and there. This is a lot more of like a laid back, chill kind of album to reflect the Alchemist in his production. There's nothing that's really going to be like a knockout banger like Goddamn or Flat Tummy Tea or the songs from the other album, Bandana. But you still have some pretty nice tracks here that make good use of old style hip hop production, sampling, jazz, and
Because you have the Scotty Beam, you have the song with Rick Ross, and that's a really good track.
You need a dictionary when you write your raps, or to the penitentiary just for a 100 seconds. I had a vision back when I was fishing for a bass, but they won't listen to you in your kitchen count cash. I got the dollars, motherfucker, nigga, credit scope. Big bag of chronic like I'm sacking up at Interscope. My pistol polish, any problems, I'ma pull it whole. Peter Parker, but I've yet to reach my pinnacle. Lord, bitches looking at me, shawty
wanna
see my soul.
I love it because a lot of these tracks in the opening parts have a little guitar in it, but it's the guitar isn't a cliche rap guitar.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, there's cliche rap flute, but they do try it a little differently and put it into your old jazz standard, as one MF Doom likes to say. And I love that for the opening, like, the opening three or four tracks has that jazz rap theme into it, and it's fantastic. Overall, the album, real quick, this is one of my favorites I've listened to in a long time because it is extremely cohesive. It's telling a story from top to bottom, and each one has a tiny little interlude that goes into the next rap song. It goes into it, and every song, it feels like it's telling a story from top to bottom, and it's like that a thing where, like, my favorite films do, where you feel like you're reading a book, you feel like you're listening to a book in that regard, because you're picturing the story into your mind, you're picturing, like, where you're sitting down into it and getting through that album from top to bottom, and I think that's fantastic. Yes. It's very chill in that regard. It's the, again, like Dan said, there's no songs that are, there's no back, there's nothing that's going to go out and go crazy into it, but I think in the world right now, too, where a lot of rap is that way, a lot of other stuff because of how crazy trap is, you get a lot of that and it can be cliche. It's nice to have an album where it's a little bit more laid back, reflective. The lyricism on this is fantastic. And the features on it actually are very good, too.
I was going to say there's one song that is that good mix of nice collaboration and good production is just a little bit below Scotty Beam, which is Frank Lucas. I see a lot of these niggas is my sons. I wish they mamas would have swallowed these, nigga. Capping ass, nigga. Jeezy used to say, boy, you want rapping ass, nigga. I said I'm shipping packs, I don't need no advance, nigga. Niggas thought I took a loss, but I jumped off and I got richer. Shit is funny when you think about it. Rolex too big, I took a link about it. Frank Lucas, I hit the clock, pulled a link. Frank Lucas, it's essentially
fantastic.
Like one note on the bass line and like a couple of other notes here and there with the drums, but it still sounds unique in a way that's a real skill to do with such a pared back song. It's really good. The song Something to Rap About is basically like Freddie Gibbs and Tyler, the Creator, both talking about their come-ups in rap music, a very tried and true trope in rap music. It's interesting to have, usually it's two contemporaries doing it together. Freddie Gibbs and Tyler, the Creator, from totally different generations.
Very different.
And
people.
had very different roots to where they are. But they're both kind of talking about the same thing, which is like, turning oneself and one's interests into like a lifestyle, a thing that people can grab onto. So like it was a pretty like nice song in that it exists as it exists right there. But yeah, it just doesn't, I think this is telling a bit of a story, but I think Bandana told a more cohesive, bigger story.
Oh, for sure.
So like it's just like Bandana is like
Bandana
bigger,
is
better, and Blacker Alfredo.
Is stupid. No, Bandana, you get your veggie sausage with the Alfredo. This is just the Alfredo without sausage.
Yes.
But it's still good. I really like Baby Shit too, which comes right after Something to Rap About. Might be my favorite track on the album.
Yeah, ain't nobody ever gave me shit. I had to take this shit, go get your paper, bitch. Flew a hole like 20 hours just to have a threesome with my new Australia, bitch. Saatchi roll, draping like a nigga. Got a cape, but I can never save a bitch. Every day I get an internet thread. Boy, these niggas soft as baby shit. Get them baby seasons to my side piece. 40 millimeter on the timepiece. Take a hole and
yeah, it's good. Skinny Shug is hilarious.
Skinny Shug, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
All Glass also comes out with like a lot of hot takes against a lot of, different celebrities and musicians mm-hmm. and artists and things like that. It's nothing like Daytona, Pusha T. So hold your horses there. No one's coming out guns blazing.
And then no one's saying, hey, Drake, you got a kid, pay your child support. You know? No one's going that hard. But it's good. It's so far for this year for rap albums, it's one of my favorites for sure. Because I was getting disheartened again because of the amount of trap I've had to listen to the past month. And I'm like, oh, God, it's... Why? But
guess
there's still good rap out there.
Guess which two people didn't have to listen to a Lil Yachty album this week?
Is there a Lil Boat 4th? Wait, there's Lil Yachty?
Yes.
Please put on me, put Lil Boat Part 2.
We avoided doing that this week because...
You did Lil Boat 3! Holy shit, 19 songs, 53 minutes long. I'm gonna listen to part of it at some point just because I want to nominate it for something. I already know this because Lil Yachty released my least most favorite song ever, which is Minnesota, because the music video is him just trapping out on a Zamboni in the middle of an ice rink, and it is the most stupid shit ever, and it's a horrible song, and it's completely out of tune.
Bringing the ghetto to the ring.
Bringing the ghetto here, y'all. But the fact that the entire song is out of tune is the best part.
Probably on purpose, too.
It's it like... is. So Lil Boat 3, I'm definitely gonna like listen to that Trav Stephen album.
Arbitrary Scale.
Yes, Luda Stores.
Alfredo.
This thing. Is you rob an Italian joint. You go up, you fuck up, you think it's a liquor store, but it ends up being a restaurant, and you're just like, well, what do I take? You need to take some stools, and you run away.
Yeah, it's like not like a nice Italian joint, not quite an Olive Garden, but it's like your hometown. They really
like the one in Culver City we went to a long time ago, like just like a random kind of Italian joint where it's like hidden, but you think it looks like something else, so you break into it and you're like,
it's small. Shit. It's small enough to be a smoke shop, but like they throw down with the mozzarella.
Yeah, you know they definitely have mob ties and they got hella money in the back if you look closely.
Yes. Otherwise, very good album.
Yes.
Quick hits. Really fast. Rest in peace to Bob Kulick, mm-hmm. who was a guitarist for the Stars. Among his many things he worked on was being like a backing guitar for Kiss. He actually tried out for Kiss and just barely missed the mark, but he still worked with them. Worked with Lou Reed very much from Velvet Underground. Meatloaf, which is, everyone's got a Meatloaf phase, it seems, at a certain point. Should be a tell-all book on that. But at least...
Declined Estate/Unknown.
Diana Ross, Michael Bolton, Wasp, helped produce Whiplash from Motorhead.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
pretty amazing. And of course, his number one song was Sweet Sweet Victory, the Super Bowl song from the SpongeBob.
Yep.
So,
his number one hit. Goes down to infamy.
Everyone remembers 2002 Song of the Summer.
That's hilarious. Song of the decade. Come on now. This beats out Kid A. And last story is Grimes, everybody's favorite crazy. She's selling a piece of her soul as an art project, but catch this. She priced her soul at $10 million.
Yes. A bit of backstory. Apparently, she was working with her lawyer and said that she, you know, likes applying art to different things. And one thing she wanted to do was, like, apply art to the law and legal things. And so wanted to create a piece that was, like, written in this, like, supposed to like make art out of legal prose and legal text, which is just extremely eccentric. It's like, it's just like Grimes is like, oh, here's a thing that like someone can talk to me about at a party for 30 seconds that I can go, okay, that's interesting, but I don't know much about it. I'm gonna make this my life and turn into an art project now. And I think that's kind of how she sees her music, which is better or worse, not too bad.
It was good.
Yeah, her life, which is just like, a bit of a train wreck right now with the whole Elon Musk baby thing. And the art piece, it's, I mean, it gets people talking about the concept. It's not a new concept at all. Like, it's very, like, reads Banksy once.
Kill your masters. This is, God, what, oh, tax the rich. Anyway, so this has been Audio Face. What does it mean to play us out?
Eat the rich.
Yes. This has been a wild episode, 144. Thank you for listening. If you got this far,
next episode we
Run the Jewels.
Knock on wood, have Run the Jewels. We might have Bauer, the Harlem Shake guy, or like the newer version of the Harlem Shake guy. We'll see how that goes. Usually surprises. But yes, play us out.
Rate us on any podcasting app you use, preferably Spotify, because you know, gotta get them Spotify numbers, so you get sweet, sweet Spotify money.
Apple Podcasts is also super preferred too, because it's an actual visible rating system that people can see.
That's true.
And YouTube is another thing. We are blowing up on YouTube. We have videos going up from Audio
Face
pretty much every day.
And it's hilarious to see the comments on that shit. I'm like, oh my God, it's happening.
Comments are wiling out.
Oh my, oh no, it's starting.
Sean got bodied for texting during a review.
No, you want to know the best part?
I know sometimes you do that to like toggle music and to like...
That time it was for music, because I put my headphone in and I put it down. I was trying to find something to listen, like
other times he is texting.
Other times I will text 100%, because there's sometimes where I'm like, okay, I gotta figure out something real quick. But I just love that. Anyways, you can follow us on social medias at AudioFacePod if you want to body me more. I will not respond because I don't do that.
Send us music, AudioFacePod at Twitter and Instagram.
Follow me at social medias at SW Suarez. Follow Dan on Instagram at Dan from the Internet and Twitter at Dan from the Web, because that's never changing. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Stay safe out there. Wear your masks, please, because you know it's not politically correct to not do so.
Watch out for each other. Water and baking soda. No justice, no peace. Cheers.
Baking soda. I got baking soda. Bye.